D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan. Finally, the Stanley Cup Final starts tonight. The rematch, Florida versus Edmonton. Game starts at 7 o'clock, as I understand it. You can hear that game right here on 102.5, 106.3. The game coverage beginning at 6:30. But if you want to watch it, 7 o'clock on TNT. So, with the Florida Panthers back in the Stanley Cup Final, there's this narrative that's out there. It's been out there for the past several years. We touched on it last week with Elliot Friedman. This idea of the Sun Belt teams and the fact that they don't have state income tax. By my rough count, since the Predators went to the Stanley Cup Final in 2017, 8 of the past 9 Stanley Cup Finals have involved at least one team from the quote-unquote Sun Belt. The only Stanley Cup Final that did not qualify was the 2019 Stanley Cup Final, when the St. Louis Blues completed their miraculous run and beat the Boston Bruins. And my elementary school geography tells me that Missouri and Massachusetts are not in the Sun Belt.
Although we have determined that the Sun Belt is a bit of a loose term.
Yes.
Even though you did provide a geographical thing with a chart that had a, you know, a color-coded area,
it's
which
easier
included,
to
my
tell.
Surprise,
right.
The western states. I thought the Sun Belt was only limited to more of the Southeast.
Vegas is lumped into
Vegas
this.
Has got in
Vegas
there.
Vegas is lumped qualifies. Into this category, but you have Nashville, Tampa Bay, Florida, Dallas, Vegas, and the fact that those states do not have state income tax. And I'm not going to deny that that is an advantage. I, however, believe that it's overblown in terms of how much of an advantage it actually is. And I like this answer. David's going to play it for us here in a minute. Yesterday was Stanley Cup Final Media Day, where all of the players and the coaches and the GMs from both teams, they talk. And Bill Zito, the GM of the Florida Panthers, was asked a question by my good friend, by the way, Steve Wino of the Associated Press, about the advantages that Florida has in terms of building its team. This is what Panthers GM Bill Zito said.
Well, you've built a championship team. Everyone's talking about sort of the state income tax thing, but what are the advantages of sort of the market you have? And as a general manager, when you're sort of building a roster and attracting players in free agency or trades, how do you sort of use those advantages to sort of build the roster you have?
I think the most important thing for us in attracting players is I think the players have understood now how much we've been empowered by ownership to try to do the right things. And it can't be overstated what the Viola family has done for us to allow us to implement whether we need a new practice rink. Okay. And here you go. And it's beautiful. And to allow us the flexibility to try to do the things that we think are necessary to try to win. And to try to have an excellent organization. And I think the players feed off that. And they know that if the chicken isn't right, that we're going to get new chicken. And it sort of transcends all that we do. It sounds silly, but it's true and it's real. The sun doesn't kill us. It's a nice environment to live in. It's a good place for families. It's a good place for singles. It's got a little something for everybody. And then I'll point to Paul and the coaching staff and that room. And players know, I think I'm not going to go through each one, but so many of the players who have come to us have had career years, and it's a function of the coaches in the room. So players from the outside, I think the tax thing is marginal at best. And I think the real reasons are that trying to figure out a way to do our best to try to win.
It's not the taxes. It's the chicken. That's the takeaway.
Wow. So I wonder if we're talking about more fried chicken,
baked
grilled
chicken.
I think they're probably eating grilled chicken.
Yeah, grill.
Probably better
or
for
baked.
You. Yeah,
some type
yeah.
of baked or grilled chicken. Yeah.
But what's funny
so
is
at one point we're I guess to assume that for all those years when Florida stunk and was picking second, that the chicken was
the
problem.
Yeah, it was the reason.
The
yeah.
chicken was
bad
the problem.
Chicken.
Yeah.
So, as Willie said, there was a time when the Florida Panthers missed the playoffs 16 out of 18 seasons.
That's a lot of chicken.
Between 2000.
That's a lot of bad chicken.
2000, 2001, and 2018-19. And we didn't hear about any of this then.
Right. And 2000, 2001, they barely. I mean, when they did make the playoffs, like, they weren't getting in and sticking around very long.
Right. So, also, so I think it's a hot topic because of the success of the Southern hockey markets.
And it's important to point out that Florida has always not had a state income tax. So all those years where they had the bad chicken and the bad teams, they had the quote-unquote advantage of the no state tax.
Right.
But I think it's become a little bit, I think for players now, just because we talked about this with Nashville, you know, when they became a franchise, there were players that didn't want to come here. But I think
they were on the list.
Exactly.
You don't want to go there.
Exactly. So, but the more and more you started to get familiar with this team, and then the players that they did have, and you saw, okay,
yeah, good they team. Were able to start they, spending to
exactly.
the cap.
Exactly. And then now that is just one of the added things. You know, you can mark as a check on your side. They don't have a stadium contest. I don't think it, you know, guys don't think about it at all. I think it does factor when you're talking about, okay, are you going to give me, say both teams are even, you're going to give me 4.5 and they're going to give me 4.5. Okay, where's my money going longer? I'm going to your 4.5 because you have no state tax. That's what guys, I think, are doing now.
And that is an advantage,
yeah.
I think.
The first 14 Stanley Cup champions of the salary cap era, so starting in 2005-2006, the first 14 Stanley Cup champions hailed from states with income tax. That includes the Los Angeles Kings and Anaheim Ducks, who are meant to be at the biggest disadvantage given California's income tax rates. Mm-hmm. So it's a hot topic right now because the Panthers are on an incredible run. Before the Panthers, the Lightning were on an incredible run. Vegas has already won a title. The Predators went to the Stanley Cup final. And what I found an article on The Athletic interesting. I think it was published last week after the Panthers advanced to the Stanley Cup final, from James Myrtle in The Athletic. The NHL's
Toronto-based writer.
Yes, the NHL's Sunbelt problem, in quotes, has no easy solution, but does it need one? And here's where I would be worried about this if I were a Southern hockey fan or a Predators fan, because, again, the Predators have this advantage, right? The teams in the South, the Panthers, the Lightning, the Hurricanes, the Stars, the Predators, the Golden Knights, they are not the major revenue drivers of the NHL. Those are the teams that you would think of as the main revenue drivers in the NHL, like the Toronto Maple Leafs or the New York Rangers, teams that don't have the state income tax advantage. And I guess what I would be concerned about is if the revenue driving teams see the advantage that the non-revenue driving teams have and say, hey, this is hurting our bottom line. This is hurting the league's bottom line. We want to do something about this. I would be concerned about those bigger teams trying to legislate the no state income tax advantage out of the next collective bargaining agreement.
I think that's why some of those teams fought against to have a salary cap to begin with. They weren't all that excited because they knew that they had the ability to house a much higher payroll than some of these Sunbelt teams that did not drive as much revenue. Mm-hmm. But that's what saved the league. That whole year where they had the nightmare of sitting out an entire season. Now, if you're a younger listener and you're here, like, wait a minute, they didn't play a whole season? Yes, they did not play
2004-2005.
Zero games. I'm not talking about the 94 baseball season which was a nightmare as well, where they didn't play the World Series. That was a travesty. But they played 100 and something games before they stopped. Hockey never got the season started. They were so at odds. And the owners were like, we have to have a salary cap or else we're not going to have any kind of competitive balance. And markets like a lot of the Sun Belt markets, Nashville included, cannot survive. So Nashville has to be thankful as a market that they have this. The revenue sharing has evolved as well. And I think that's where I think even the Torontos, the New Yorks, the ones that drive the most revenue, they're giving a lot of that, they're sharing a lot of that revenue. So they have given up some of their inherent advancements or advantages. And that's, I think, also where they're saying, hey, man, are we giving back a little too much here? Because look at what's happening. We're sharing revenue. These teams are getting some revenue sharing in some cases in the Sun Belt. And they've got this advantage of having no state income tax.
And the advantage that those teams have, like the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? They are the most valuable franchise in the NHL. I believe Forbes estimated their value at nearly $4
billion. That's
amazing. $4 billion the last time they did that exercise. They have more money to spend. So
right. They're printing money.
Does the dollar go further in Nashville than it does in Toronto? Yes, absolutely. But Toronto is not hurting for cash. Mm-mm. Toronto can pay big money to players that, frankly, Nashville can't.
Right, but there are more teams now that one way or another can pay to the cap ceiling if they want to. There was a time where Nashville, and I would think there was a handful of other teams in this category. Florida was probably one. I'd have to go back and check. But they did not, nor did they want to, or they would tell you that they didn't have the revenue to spend to the cap. So there's your advantage for Toronto. Like you said, Toronto, New York, they're never going to have any problem spending right to the cap, no matter what the cap ceiling is, right? Never. But now that everybody can spend to the cap, that's where the advantage of no state income tax gives you something tangible. Now, here's what I think is coming in the next one. The cap is going to go up so much that we might come back to a spot where some teams in smaller markets are going to have more trouble spending to the cap. So they're not going to have quite the advantage they've had. And I'm not sure where Nashville is going to fit in that. I think Nashville, in a perfect world, will continue to be able to spend to the cap when needed. There's obviously flexibility in not spending to the cap. You kind of want to be under a little bit so you can maneuver.
Is there a, because in the NFL, there's a percentage you have to spend to, you have to spend at least
there is a salary floor. There is a salary cap floor.
And so there is, they do have that in hockey. There is a floor.
A floor.
Okay.
So the other thing, too, is you look at the Florida Panthers, for example, right? They are the team that is dominating the NHL right now. Third consecutive Stanley Cup final appearance. They could win a second consecutive Stanley Cup if they defeat the Oilers again. And you look at the contract that Matthew Tkachuk signed after he, he basically forced his way out of Calgary, or the deal that Sam Reinhart signed last summer. They can take less because their money is going to go further living in Florida. But it's not like players give teams incredible discounts. Mm-mm. For example, I don't think Steven Stamkos gave the Nashville Predators a discount. An $8 million cap hit, I don't think that's a discount for Steven Stamkos. Stamkos is not worth more than that right now. A lot of teams would probably tell you he's not worth that much right now. So he didn't give the Predators a discount signing for $8 million per season. But when you look, again, it's part of it. Matthew Tkachuk, he was playing in Calgary. He didn't want to sign there. He wanted to go to Florida. That's where he ultimately went. He signed right away. He has changed that DNA of that franchise. He has been a gigantic part of it. But the Panthers, if you want to learn about lessons that you can take away from the Florida Panthers, is that they have built their roster aggressively and intelligently. First of all, they were bad for a few years, so they could draft Alexander Barkov and they could draft Aaron Ekblad. But they've also done some incredibly savvy things. They found a player who was playing a role, he was playing a secondary role for the Tampa Bay Lightning in 2020. His name was, or is, because he's still with us, Carter Verhaeghe.
Unbelievable pickup.
Carter Verhaeghe was, you know, a bottom six player for the Tampa Bay Lightning. They signed him to a cheap deal, and now look at Carter Verhaeghe. Clutch every single postseason. They also did take advantage, as Willie, as you know, they did take advantage of long-term injured reserve. Matthew Tkachuk on long-term injured reserve. They can acquire Seth Jones. They can acquire Brad Marchand. Like, that's another, that's probably the advantage that may be legislated out of the CBA the next time around, the LTIR thing.
I think that's an important point. And that's where we go. Let's go back to Bill Zito's quote about the chicken and everything else. You notice he spent about 1% of the time talking about the advantage. Now, he said in there, in that 1%, I think it's marginal, but he conceded that there's an advantage.
Yes.
But you notice, he could have, the last thing he's going to do is say, oh, yeah, we've got an unfair advantage, and we're going to take full advantage of that unfair advantage, right? Because I mean, you're not going to, you want to downplay it so it doesn't become a big story and gain more, because he wants to keep what he's got going. So here is what I think has become a very distinct double advantage. And that is the no state income tax plus the ability to work the LTIR. I think if you look at the last few championship teams of
Vegas.
Tampa and Vegas and Florida, and all three have used expertly not only this no state income tax, which gives you one advantage, but you then double it up by being able to use the LTIR. That is... The word he used, Zito, was marginal, but in a game where everybody's got the same amount to spend, you win on the margins, right? You can create a bigger margin by those two advantages, and a lot of the teams that we're talking about only have one of those two advantages. Everybody could take advantage of LTIR if the circumstances yes. present themselves.
Do you remember who the first victim of the LTIR?
The Predators.
The Nashville Predators.
Yes, they were.
In 2015 with Patrick Kane.
Yeah, and I was
and the Chicago
stunned.
Blackhawks.
I didn't, at that time, I didn't know that was the rule. So Patrick Kane, who was at the peak of his career.
Broken collarbone.
Yes. I'm glad you remembered it was a collarbone. I didn't remember. I knew he broke up. It was a long-term thing. So the story comes out, and I don't think the general fan, I know I wasn't, was aware that this rule was out there. So what happened was, this was the dynasty of the Blackhawks. This was they were eventually going to win their third title in, what, 6 years?
Sounds right.
2010, 2013, 2015. Patrick Kane breaks his collarbone with maybe, I don't know, a month or so to go of the season. He is declared out for the season. The Predators get matched up with them in the first round.
And miraculously, here comes Patrick Kane.
Right, and they never said anything about it, and now this is very common, right? Everybody's like, well, they're going to probably bring him back for the first game. We didn't know that was a thing.
Nikita Kucherov missed an entire season for the Tampa Bay Lightning and arrived in time for Game 1 of the playoffs.
Exactly.
Well, why don't
the Blackhawks were right up against the cap. They were able to acquire in Patrick Kane's absence, a couple of guys that they would not have had room to get.
Would that have been Antoine Vermette?
Antoine Vermette was a number two center. Not a great player, but on a team that every dollar counted, they were able to bring him in, maybe one or two other guys. Nobody huge, but Vermette was
big. They made a difference.
Right, but I don't think most of the teams were even aware you could do that. And then, oh my gosh, Patrick Kane, what an amazing healing job. He's not out for the season. He's back. Oh, not only is he back, he's back for game one
of the playoffs, yeah. First round.
And that was a knockdown, drag-out series where
the
Predators lost Shea Weber in the first game. And then Mike Fisher, I think somewhere maybe in the second game or third game, still took them to a double overtime game, a triple overtime game. It was a great series. One great chapter in the great rivalry.
But so
that was a big, big move. So that was the first time that anybody really heard of LTIR.
So as you watch the Stanley Cup final, as you consume all of the preview content before tonight's game, I'm sure you're going to be hearing and reading a lot about the taxes. It's an advantage, but I agree with Bill Zito. It's marginal. There are other ways to take advantage of your situation. And the Predators, look, they've been able, when the Predators were at their best, they've been able to take advantage of that too. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Stanley Cup final, which starts tonight. Panthers at Oilers. You can hear that game right here on 1025, 1063. The game, I believe, our coverage starts at 6:30. But coming up next, we know that NIL is a big part of college sports. We know that NIL is bleeding into high school sports. But should NIL be allowed in middle school? I read a story that I found incredibly fascinating. We'll discuss that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game. D. Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. So we know about name, image, and likeness in college. We know about name, image, and likeness in high school. But then I was reading this story in the New York Times by Joe Drape. Can this 14-year-old football star become a high school millionaire? Major brands and local sponsors have offered lucrative deals to high school and even younger stars who promote their products. And the story is focused on a young man named Caden Coleman Bennett. He is 14 years old. He is a sought-after football player from the Washington, D.C. area. He already has some sponsorship deals with a local fashion brand and an athletic gear company. His mother was interviewed as part of the story. And when you hear this quote out of context of the story, some of you may go, God, that mom's greedy. But she said, Caden's mother said, quote, the goal is for him to reach $1 million his freshman year of high school. And His freshman year of high school. The goal is for him to reach $1 million his freshman year of high school. And look, I support name, image, and likeness, but middle school,
I thought this was a fascinating article from a lot of angles, yeah. Because I think when you read the whole article, I think the family and the support system, there's a mentor,
yes,
coach.
We'll get to that too.
That is a very important piece of this. And I think they have an idea. They have an idea that they know this is a special thing and they've got to be careful on how they do this. They're not flipping at all with, hey, yeah, this is great. We want to get as much money as we can, as long as we can get it, right? They're thinking about this in a structured way. They I think are looking out at least to some degree long term. When I hear though that the goal is $1 million, I get a little bit concerned, D-Mace, because I don't think the goal should be about money. The goal should be, hey, look, whatever comes our way, we're very fortunate to have that. But my goal as a parent would be, I want to make sure that above all else, he stays on the right path, school wise and everything. But I think if you read in deep, that part of it is in there. But if the headline is the goal is $1 million by the ninth grade, I'm like, oh boy.
So the article notes, Derek, that at least 41 states and the District of Columbia have policies through their athletic associations allowing NIL agreements for high school students, and many allow deals for students in middle school, according to Open Doors, a platform for NIL deals. About 2 years ago, one sports marketing agency signed an NIL deal with a youth football player in Los Angeles who was only 9 years old. I can't imagine what insane. I would do with $1 million as a 14-year-old. I probably would have gone to GameStop and buy every video game in the store. And I would
Shut
have had
down.
So much
I mean,
money
that's
left
the thing
over.
Think about that when you're that age. You can't comprehend
the money, that money.
It's just hard. You can't do it.
Well, it's a lot. It's a lot different now, for one. These kids are exposed to so many things, which isn't, you know, it could be a good thing, but it could be a bad thing too. They are exposed to so much stuff at such an age that, you know, when they get our age, you know, 25, 35, 45, you know, it's not a big deal then because they've already had it. Or they've experienced or you know, social media, however, you know, you kind of go about it. But this one's hard for me because a kid should be a kid. 9, 10 years old, man, just play some video games. Give me a bike, you know, give me my fellas. Yeah, I may have a little crush on a girl, but give me my fellas. Let's ride some bikes. Let's throw the ball around. Let's enjoy the sports that we're in. Let's just be a kid. So that's the part that I'm, you know, sort of torn between. You know, the capitalism part where, yes, I should be able to, you know, benefit from, you know, whatever, you know, whether it be my athletic prowess or my, you know, scholastic prowess, I should be able to, you know, benefit from that because no one's making a big deal when a golf kid is a prodigy and they're 9, 10, 11 years old. Tiger Woods' son, we all know that the first time he could pick up anything, it probably was a golf club and you saw it. But he's under a different circumstance. So we've seen it before in other sports, maybe not to this magnitude, but now that it's entered into the world sort of football, it's a little bit different. But again, I'm torn because a kid should be a kid. But also, man, listen, it's a capitalistic world. And if you could benefit, then you should have that right.
And we have a couple of texters talking about that quote from his mother. The goal is for him to reach $1 million his freshman year of high school. A couple of texters have talked about.
People read the article first. Yes. You read the whole article first before you do that. Willie
mentioned this. So someone working on behalf of this young man is his football coach in middle school. His football coach in middle school. Mike Sharif, I believe, is how you pronounce his last name. And in this article, it says, Mr. Sharif is not a fan of the NIL system. He wonders how healthy could it be paying children? Mm-hmm. How damaging is it to the hierarchy of a locker room? But Mr. Sharif knew these deals were inevitable in youth sports and felt that if he ignored them, he would be shirking his duties as an educator. He had a half dozen players with deals this past season, he said, and expects that number to double next fall. Quote, college already has become pro football. High school is finding its market, and there were already some foxes trying to get in my hen house.
But this is why people read the whole article. And I understand you're listening to the radio, probably in your car or something like that, so you can't get to
the headline. This 14-year-old football star become a high school millionaire? It was published in the New York Times.
Yeah. So when you get a moment where you can just sit down, just read the whole article, because I think you may think about it a little bit different than what you are now. But Even the coach, once you read the article, you understand and you see that this is just not no flipping coach that, you know, oh, I want to get into the game. No. The things that he's doing with this football team, it should be sort of duplicated and sort of put into your program. The things that he's doing, the NIL, you got to have over 3.35. He has all of these stipulations within it. And if you don't, you don't get any NIL money. That's just the way it is. So I think these are things that you need to, when you're reading the article, these are things that come up that you.
Right.
Okay, he's trying to keep these kids level-headed, knowing that he can't stop it.
Yes, it's coming either way.
Yeah.
One thing that I like, too, they're setting up some classes where everybody who's going to get some NIL is going to get some
their
education
parents.
How to handle the money, right? How to do a checking account, how to set up a savings account. These are really great tools to learn at a young age. I could tell you I had absolutely no clue about savings account or anything. I didn't
save the money in my parents' game.
So, but look, if you get all that money and you have no idea how to handle it, you will lose the money.
It mentions in the article.
You will blow the money. So this is a good training ground, potentially. It's fraught with peril. There's a lot of things that can go wrong with this, but at least they're trying.
As Willie said in the article, the coach has taught each player how to open a savings account and brought in a bank representative to talk to parents. The students must pass a financial competency test and take lessons in handling social media and the news media. Those who secure NIL deals must maintain a 3.5 grade point average.
That's great thinking.
Yeah.
Because you know who I thought about a lot? It's crazy, but remember back years ago, I'm sure it still happens. It used to be a bigger deal because there were less TV shows and stuff, but all the childhood actors.
Yes.
Somebody on our text line fell
on really hard times.
Somebody on our text line, Kristen Dixon, said, how is NIL for child athletes different from a child actor? They are getting paid for a skill.
And I think there's dozens that we can remember from our childhood. Yeah. Every generation has got the ones that they see. Some make it through just fine. Some, you know, have a lot of hardship, but make it eventually. And some really fall on some hard times, right? We're talking about in jail. We're talking about
drugs, everything.
Drugs. We're talking about, unfortunately, overdosing or, you know, not being with us anymore. And it's really sad because these are the people who are timeless. Because if you flip on a TV station, their shows are still on today. You're like, man, it's too bad that these kids that had a lot at a young age didn't have the right support system. So I would say this kid is going to be, he's not going to be alone. Mm-mm. There's going to be a lot of kids who are very special and get a lot at a young age. Some are going to make it. Some we're going to have some really, really tough stories about.
Matthew in Nashville says, so he has rules that college NIL desperately needs. Sounds like a smart educator.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, college, where you at? NCAA, come on. This guy can set up a system that at least gives you hope.
And I think some colleges are doing, like, implementing that. Hey, listen, you know, you want to be treated like a professional, then we're going to treat you like a professional. And I sent you guys one of the clips where these guys, you miss class, you get docked. You do this, you get docked. It's just like a real job. You don't show up, you don't get paid. So I think there are more schools, because they understand that just giving these kids this money and not educating them on this money, or not showing them there's going to be repercussions if you don't do the things that we're asking you, is setting these kids up for failure. And it's been, listen, I would rather have this coach than a coach that just, okay, I introduce you to this kid, without any guidelines or any without a roadmap. Because what happens is they don't care about you. They just want to benefit from you right now. They don't care how you end up. So they're going to give you the money, and whatever you choose to do with it or however you choose to act, it's your business as long as you perform. All right. Well, eventually he gets older and he grow out of that talent. Now he's lost all the money. You don't care anything about him. I think what this coach is doing, what he's trying to do, he's being proactive. He know he can't stop it. What he's trying to do is prepare these, not only these young boys,
he's because preparing that's what their parents.
Yeah, they
he's
are preparing boys. Their exactly. He's preparing their parents. You know, hey,
preparing
this thing
the can, parents is a huge.
Is that's the biggest thing, yeah. Honestly? Because if you prepare the parents and they're raising their kids the proper way, the kids will get it.
And I forget the mom has. A job that
she works in the education department,
right? Yeah. And I think that's a good helpful thing too. Mm-hmm. That she's aware of some of this stuff.
She is a counselor. In the DC yes. public school system.
Okay,
so she understands
sure
the psyche
understands
and everything of it. Yeah,
a lot of the big picture here. But I think your point is the best point. Let the kids be the kids. Yeah. I think if it costs you hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you're not maximizing your quote goal of a million. I would pay that in a heartbeat as a parent to keep my kid grounded and focused on the right thing. Because in the big picture, we can all remember kids in our neighborhood mm-hmm. who were the best. Now, this kid might be LeBron, right? He might be. He might be Freddie Adu. Remember Freddie Adu at
yes.
age 14? Everybody
yes.
knows that name. Mm-hmm. He was 14. He turned pro as a soccer player. We had all these great. He's going to be the next great superstar. Mm-hmm. Anybody know where Freddie Adu is now? He's probably playing somewhere, but... He is not LeBron. He is not Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. He is not Bryce Harper, some of these teenage prodigies. You're much more likely to be just a decent, solid athlete
than
you are the super, superstar that's going to keep making that kind of money. So we all remember the kid who was elite when mm-hmm. he was 14. You're like, man, this guy's going places. And they're like, hey, where is so-and-so?
Out,
well, he's at this small college. He's trying to make – he's been injured. So many things can happen.
615-737-1025. NIL in middle school. Is that a bridge too far? 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063 the game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063 the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Stillman and Company coming up next. Jared in studio, a rare pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
To see Jared in studio.
Winston in the flesh.
I almost forgot what he looked like from the waist down, because you only see him sitting at his studio at home, and
it's grown a little bit more hair.
It happens to the young dads. Yeah, I've been okay. there. So
speaking of that, I'm thinking about going with the Tom Thibodeau hairdo.
Don't even do it.
No,
you don't think so.
Pass. No, no.
I think
pass,
I'm capable.
Hard,
I think,
hard.
I think if
you
I
might
grew
be capable,
it out a little bit,
but you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You don't think it's a look that's
hey,
going to start
yeah. Hey,
the
Willie.
The comb-over's not the best.
Hey Willie. Do you want to have to get a new set of keys? Because you're going to come to open the door, Aaron going like, not until you cut that off.
Hey, I'm home. Hey, guys, I'm home. Can you open the door?
We don't know who you are. We don't know a guy with a comb over.
Poor Tom. Poor Tim.
Oh, man.
No, that's an unfortunate hairstyle.
Oh, okay. Getting back to the NIL,
but he chooses to do it.
Like, yeah, he could
do the Charles Barkley or anybody. Just
he doesn't have a head for a ball. He doesn't have a skull for a ball head. Let's just say that. So he wants to keep it over.
So
but,
this was a part of the story that we were referencing yes. in the New York Times about this 14-year-old football player and NIL at that age, mm-hmm. talking about being a kid. Caden is the young man's name. Caden is used to awkward approaches from adults wanting him to play for their teams. He has been recruited for every kind of team imaginable. Travel, high school, all-star teams. When he was 9, one coach asked him for his Cash App handle. Quote, I had to tell him I didn't have a phone, Caden said.
Yeah, I mean.
Which is kind of a surprise because I do know some
but the,
kids
that's
that age who do have a phone.
That's an attestment to his mom. Like, listen, I understand what's coming. I can't stop that from coming, but I can deflect some of it and I can, you know, sort of set up parameters. I'm not going to give you a telephone because I'm not going to give you access or people access, easier access to you. Just imagine, and I was thinking about this before we went to break, and I wanted to save it to after. This is why I'm torn between this. Because I want a kid to be able to be a kid. Just play. Just imagine. And I'm thinking about my son. And in no way was he this kid that's getting endured. No, not even close. But I'm just thinking, imagine it. Like, what if my kid was even half of that in that sporting realm? And he just wants to go out with his buddies, ride the bike, and play in the neighborhood. And I say, well, you can't do that, man, because you got this endorsement. We can't afford for you to get hurt or anything. How do you think, how does that make a look? Like, I can't go ride bikes with my friend. I can't go play pickup football with my buddies. You know, stuff like that starts to come into the framework now. Now you got to be a little, listen, parents, I probably was overly cautious when it came to my kids at times. And I know all parents go through it. I wasn't a helicopter dad, but as far as like injuries and stuff, I always tried to make sure. But just imagine, you know, again, your kid having all this NIL stuff going on. And in these NIL things, it's like, okay, not only do you have to keep your grades up, which is you should, because I don't think, you know, you should reward someone that's getting average to below average grades. You need to be getting outstanding grades if we're giving you that money. But just imagine. Like, you can't do things with your friends, like, that you just normally, like, we're in a house after, you know how it was, after school, everybody go to, hey, we're going to meet up here after school, and we're going to play a little, you can't do that anymore.
Right.
In fear of potentially getting hurt
think
at that age.
If you've watched, and I know a lot of you listeners will probably have watched some biography of some sort of Tiger Woods, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think if you look at all of his issues, there's no doubt that he sacrificed a lot of childhood to be brilliant at what he did.
Exactly.
But those sacrifices come back later in his life and are issues that crop up.
That he has to deal with,
And he's had a lot of hardship later in life because of what, I think you could say, some of which trace back to sacrificing your childhood, right?
Not being able to do the things that the other children are doing. And I get it. If you see a talent in your kid, whether it be, you know, he or she is real good at mathematics or something like that, he's these child prodigies. So you're spending more time, you know, taking them to places and events and competitions. So I get all of that. But then there's a point where, man, I can see that at when they're in high school, as they start to get into their junior, senior year, a lot of that stuff, even 10th grade. But when you're a kid, man, I just couldn't imagine telling Derek, you can't go play, you know, pick up hoops with your boy because I'm afraid you may twist an ankle, then that may affect your NIL stuff. It's like, yeah, the kid may get used to it, but then, like Willie said, I think those things years later come back in some form or fashion that you have to deal with.
AB in Mount Juliet says, you are right. Let him be a kid. The problem is that they are setting this kid up to fail. He's a 5'8", 165-pound running back. What if in 2 years he's the exact same size? Would he still be a punishing running back in high school? The answer is no. How fast is he? Is he running a 4.7 40 in middle school? Can you guarantee me that he will be faster? The answer is no. So what if this kid doesn't turn out to be some great player? The rest of his life is seen as a disappointment.
Well, again,
it's a great point. I mean, we know that your whole does happen. For one reason or another, it could be one freak injury that leads to another or something like that, or you just don't grow. Mm-hmm. You don't. Everybody develops at different ages, right?
But again, that's why I'm torn between this. It's like I want a kid to be a kid, but also if you can capitalize, you know, from, you know, your athletic prowess, or if you can capitalize from your scholastic prowess, do it. But it may cost, you got to understand, it may cost you something that you're not going to realize until later on down the life, down the road. You may not realize it, but it will cost you something. And again, I'm not saying whether the cost is going to be so detrimental that you, you know, that it puts you in a place of depression. But there are going to be times where you, as you get become an adult, you sit back as we're talking as buddies. Man, I remember when I was 8 years old, I used to do this. I went here, my buddies. We went to the creek. And then you don't have no stories like that. Why? Because you were so good at something, or your parents thought you were so good at something, and people wanted to pay you at such a young age. All those days and moments were skipped.
That'll do it for us today. Hey. It's like the tagline of Chuck E. Cheese, where a kid can be a kid.
Yes.
Just let kids be kids. Yeah. That'll do it for us today. Stillman & Company, coming up next.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful Wednesday. Peace. Awesome.